So I had to miss the Duquette interview yesterday because I had to duck out for the other gig, and you were just gloating today because you had an observation confirmed by someone that ran mini ball clubs.
Yeah, it was kind of it was a proud moment for the nation. All right, when we get told that we're right, everyone loves that. We're wrong a lot in this business because we have to go out on limbs, right? And not always going to be right, but when you are told that someone that did run teams, agrees with kind of your thought process. He did say something that I'm not 100% in on yet, and I think that he said.
Well, first of all, tell people what he said.
Well, he said
how he agreed with something you said.
You brought up and tripled up. What's your biggest need? And I said, I think a corner outfielder, and I think then maybe another bullpen arm,
maybe a shortstop.
Yeah, short. Well, I think your shortstop might be the guy you bring up, which is Nacho.
He's not going to be ready. Yeah, that's true.
So we talked about that, and then Duquette, I think Tiffany asked him, what you might need for at the trade deadline, and he said, well, I think you definitely need another corner outfielder, at least a guy that you can maybe platoon at times with Duvall and a bat. He's like, but I'd love the idea of this team getting another guy in the bullpen. He goes, to mimic what they did in 21, he goes, they had four guys come out of the bullpen every game. And it was exactly what I said. And I think
several of those guys had closer-type stuff, too.
Yeah, absolutely did. And you remember that A.J. Minter that year was phenomenal. Tyler Matzek was on a different level than he probably will ever be in his career.
He was channeling demonic entities during the postseason.
He's
amazing.
Rob, you've gotten to watch a little more baseball than me. The greatest start by in a postseason game that I've ever seen happened when I was 8, and it was Game 7 of the World Series, and it's Jack Morris versus John Smoltz. And Morris goes, 10?
Yep.
And I think Smoltz goes 9. You'll never see that replicated ever again.
Doubtful, yeah.
The greatest single...
Thanks for bringing that particular night up.
I know. Well, I mean, it has.
Now I'm going to think about Game 6 when Bobby Cox stupidly brought in Charlie Liebrand to pitch Kirby Puckett.
The other Uncle Charlie. Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I'll do, though. I'll tell you this, though. The greatest single inning pitching effort I've ever seen in the postseason was Tyler Matzek against the Dodgers, where Luke Jackson just kind of fell apart there. And Luke Jackson was good most of those playoffs, but he just kind of fell apart there in that Dodgers series. And I believe, if I'm mistaken, there was nobody out with the bases maybe juiced. And he just mowed. And he went through a couple of good hitters.
Oh, yeah.
Including Mookie Betts. So, but that's what you're kind of looking for, a guy that can help you do that. And maybe Jimenez is that, because he's been pretty good. Maybe Paris Johnson's that guy. But Minter still, Minter, A.J. Smith-Shawver sent down yesterday because Minter looked good, I think. And I think that was part of it.
Poor A.J. Smith-Shawver, just that back and forth between Gwinnett and the big club and all the things.
Had he stayed healthy, and that's not his fault, but does he not get hurt in that start that he had, we don't know who the hell Spencer Schwellenbach is still. I truly believe that.
Starting to have an idea. Now it's about consistency.
Yeah.
I'm
saying we don't know who he is right now. If we don't, Spencer Schwellenbach never comes up if A.J. Smith-Shawver stayed healthy after that start, because he looked good. Now, he's got to continue.
I still think we would have saw him because, they're doing the 6-man rotation. It's going to be a little patchwork. You're gonna bring guys up to give them a spot start to see what you have, get an idea of what you have with them.
It's a good point.
Facing a major league lineup. So, you're probably right.
But the confidence that we had talked about when we had CJ Nikowski on with us talking about Schwellenbach, right?
Yep.
You're not seeing that anymore?
No, it's not that. I don't think he'd have been brought up. I think he'd have waited. I don't know if they'd have brought him up yet because he was a shortstop and a closer in college, and he had only made like 8 or 9 starts in double A ball. Maybe not even that many. And so my point is he's relatively young to the major, to the pro game as far as minors and stuff. But maybe he would have still been ahead of Hurston Waldrop. I don't know. I just think if Smith-Shawver stayed healthy, you're not necessarily bringing Schwellenbach up when you do. And so you might have rushed that. All that said, that might be one of those gems that you get out of all of this, is that Spencer Schwellenbach got to come up when he did, and maybe you can set up, you know, kind of set yourself up for the for younger guys taking over next season, which no matter what is probably going to happen, at least with one spot.
I got to tell you right now, as in as much as I love Charlie Morton, I think he's an interesting dude, a very smart dude. I might would trust Spencer Schwellenbach in the postseason more than Charlie Morton. I don't care about the veteran stuff, because Charlie is what Charlie's always been. It's going to be a feast or famine thing with him. He's basically a 500 pitcher.
Yeah. He wasn't terrible last night, but he wasn't good either.
Because you know what you're going to get from him,
yeah,
and you know it may not always be the best, you'd rather have that than what you don't know about a young up-and-comer?
I would take the young up-and-comer.
You
would,
okay,
Charlie,
I thought you
right
were saying
now,
you
yeah.
Okay, I thought you were saying you wouldn't. I was like, wait a minute.
The thing with young guys is it's either one or the other. You either get the young guy who's too dumb to understand the moment and
that's
just
right.
goes out there and slings it,
blissfully unaware.
Or he overthinks it and he's
I think Schwellenbach has that makeup to where he just wouldn't care. It wouldn't faze him.
And when you got six pitches, it's easier to one thing's not working, it's easier to go back, you know, use something else a little bit more.
Because Charlie got hit pretty hard last night. Giving up a couple of home runs, you know, he got hit pretty hard.
It felt like that was it. The balls that were hit last night felt like they were at Coors Field. I mean, they had 450 feet is a massive.
I always think of Tap the Rockies. Sorry, it always makes me laugh. I'm sorry.
Say what?
Tap the Rockies. Like, I don't right hear Coors Field. I just.
You go straight to beer, huh?
Straight. Uh-huh. I do not like that beer.
Well, she walked in with a tall boy, so she's. Yeah.
It's coffee.
She put her cigarette out before she came into the studio. Yeah. At least.
That's the jazz singer voice in her.
It's not there today. Is it raspy?
It's a little bit. I get a little tint.
I like it.
I didn't sleep well again last night.
Oh, come on.
No. So I think the weighted blanket's too hot.
The blanket's too hot.
It's supposed to be like temperature controlled and, you know, the modern technology these days. I don't know.
What, the coffee?
No. The weighted blanket I have.
Oh, it's too hot.
You got to fix that. You gotta get sleep, woman.
Consistently. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, a lot of people can't say they didn't see this coming. U.S. soccer, the men's team, making a big move, parting ways with their coach. Details are on the way. On the other side, we go on the front page next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.